Welcome to PR After Hours, your weekly cocktail of news and interviews with leading thinkers in PR, marketing, and business. So pull up a chair in our virtual lounge. Your host, Alex Greenwood, will be right back after this.
Why do people listen to PR After Hours? Don't take my word for it. Listen to Joel Freund, CEO of Fluax Media.
I'm going on a lot of podcasts, and your podcast, the conversation with you is just so authentic and so real that I actually enjoy it. I don't even feel like it's a podcast.
Follow us now wherever you get your podcasts, or visit PRAfterHours.com and get on our subscription list so you never miss an episode. Well, welcome back. This is season 9, premiere of PR After Hours. Can you believe it? It's a big day as we record this one because it also happens to be the 14th anniversary of the founding of my company, AGPR Public Relations Consulting. Can you believe it? I can't. It's crazy. Yeah, my guest is shaking his head. He's known me forever. He was there practically at the beginning. We'll get to him in just a second. Just so you know, if you're new to the show, PR After Hours began as a virtual lounge for PR and marketing folks. But soon after our launch in 2020, we discovered that our audience was also interested in other business topics such as management, HR, IT, and sales. Each week, we're dedicated to bringing you news you can use along with interviews with industry leaders. The premiere of season 9 is no exception as we feature sales expert Tom Mulligan of the Sandler Kaufman Group right here in the Kansas City area. Tom is an acclaimed expert in the art of sales and a master at fostering meaningful client relationships. For decades, he has experienced the ups and downs of sales across various industries, earning a reputation as the go-to strategist for those looking to improve their sales techniques. His method for building rapport isn't just about closing deals. It's about forging lasting connections and understanding the subtle dynamics of client interactions. He joins us today to share his insights, strategies, and perhaps a few trade secrets on how to build rapport effectively in the sales process. So whether you're a seasoned sales pro or just beginning, make sure to have your notepad out and ready. You're about to receive a masterclass in the art of sales rapport. Don't forget, Tom has been a guest on the show before and the response was overwhelmingly positive. I'll include a link in the show notes to that episode so you can catch up. So hey, how about I start talking and build some rapport with Tom here? Welcome back to the show, Tom Mulligan.
Thank you very much. How are you, Alex?
I'm great. Snowy day here in the KC area, but we are muddling through. Tom, you know, I just dumped a bunch of syrup on you, but I meant every word of it.
Thank you.
Could you just for a second, just share a bit about your background in sales and how it shaped your approach to building rapport?
Yeah. I've been doing this a couple of days, as you can tell. I'm 18 today, my birthday. When you talk about communication structures with people and bonding rapport with people, there's no book. You learn it by the mistakes that you've made in the past. And you learn it by kind of taking apart some of the things that have happened in communications and get down to the brass tacks of why did this happen? Hmm. Because a great deal of what happens between a salesperson and a person that is buying something is unseen. A great deal of it is based on experiences that both of the people have brought to the conversation that have nothing to do with each other. Hmm. And a great deal of the basis of this platform of relationship in a professional environment are things that we're not really looking at or paying attention to. So we're going to talk about some of the things today that people do in an attempt to build a relationship, a business relationship with someone in order to have a productive conversation coming out of that. Now, the definition of what is a productive conversation can be any number of things, Alex. Mm-hmm. I mean, it could be, in your case, with some of the social media stuff that I rely on that you do, it may have to do with a conversation we're having about how you think we should do something to be effective in social media. It doesn't have anything to do with me buying something from you or you buying something from me. So as part of today's conversation, I hope what we can do is actually step back from selling a little and back from, shared outcomes kinds of relationships. Just talk about how people act. You know, some of the things that people do, because we do a lot of very weird things. Let's start with one that's already happened. Now, I know you a long time. So I asked you, how are you, Alex? And you said, I'm fine. Nothing happened.
I fell for that trap, didn't I?
I know. For it. So we ask each other, I mean, when we meet someone for the first time, we ask them how they are. Okay. And the fact of the matter is we really don't care. Not even a little, you know.
Well, I care about an airplane. Come on, man.
It's true. You ever been on an airplane? You turn to the person next to you and you go, hey, how are you? And they tell you, you know, you didn't want to know this. So as part of what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about how people communicate between themselves. Interpersonal dynamics is what we're going to talk about. How people relate to one another. I'm trying to explain a couple of things that happen that sometimes we just don't understand.
Yeah.
For instance, think about a time, Alex, when you met someone for the first time and you've never met them before, but you have this really weird feeling that you were separated at birth.
Yeah.
You've known this person all of your life. Okay. Yeah. Now, mm-hmm. you haven't. And the fact of the matter is this person may be wanted on an outstanding warrant in Idaho. You don't care. You trust them. Why? Because something's happening we're not watching. On the other hand, Alex, this only happened to you once, I'm sure. But occasionally we meet someone for the first time and we make it part of our life's work not to meet them for the second time.
The type of person who brightens a room by leaving it.
Yeah. Why do these things happen, though? I mean, we think that they make sense. And right. Part of the things I hope we can let go of is that a great deal of what happens in interpersonal dynamics, it doesn't make sense.
Mm.
It doesn't make sense. You know, if we think we're logical, we can come to some basis of relationships with other people. And it's not, because in our world, we know that selling is easy.
Right.
Except for the people part. That part is not nearly as easy. Relationships in business, though, are different than friendly relationships. Now, business relationships become friendly relationships. Yours and I did. But what we did was, at the beginning, it was a business relationship. And in a business relationship, what I would like to, first of all, point out very, very clearly is that a business relationship has a point, has a reason.
Right.
A personal relationship doesn't. Now, you know, I could call you and say, hey, Alex, what are you doing? Nothing. What are you doing? Nothing. Plans for the weekend? Nothing. Great. Cool. What about next week? I don't know. Wednesday, you open? I don't know about Wednesday. Yeah. All right, well, call me if that changes. What just happened?
Nothing.
Nothing. But it's a perfectly okay conversation to have between two people. But let's keep in mind what that was. That was a friendly interaction or a friendly communication, had no point.
Yeah.
In business, our relationships have a point. And if they don't have a point, we begin to start our relationship very poorly.
Mm.
Very poorly. Let's take a sales rep, for instance. They call on someone they don't know. Okay. And they don't make it clear about what they wanted. And so they use these terms. I'm just reaching out. Just touching base. Just checking on you. Thought I'd say hi. What's that tell the person who's on the other end of that communication?
Well, I don't know what it tells me. I know what it makes me feel.
What?
It makes me feel, okay, honestly, it makes me feel a little put upon. It's like, you know, don't play me. Just tell me what you need. You know, I don't have time for this.
You're a patient man, Alex, but everyone does. Okay. Mm. Because what happens is this person looks, you know, the recipient of that communication sees themselves as that person's prey.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, this person is coming to get something from me.
Right.
And those relationships, generally speaking, are very brief. And if done by phone, very often end up with someone getting hung up on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just what happens.
Can I just stop you for a second, though?
Please.
This is a very real thing, particularly. I'm a big critic of this on LinkedIn. You got the people who want to connect with you. And I even make it clear to people, I'll connect with you because we're in related industries. I don't know you, but don't sell to me. And what happens? As soon as I let them in, they DM me like within minutes and try to sell to me. Right. That makes me crazy.
Yeah. And they don't even check your profile. Very often on LinkedIn, I'll get an inquiry as to whether or not I want to buy something I have no interest in.
Right.
No authority to buy.
Right.
And aren't having those problems anyway. So how are you reaching out to me in a caring, you know, loving manner? So let's start with how we can be a little bit more intentional
mm-hmm.
and start to share our relationship with one another. Our goal is not to go out and make friends.
Right.
In selling. It's not. I mean, people in sales, I'm sure they have friends. I'm sure they can get lots of friends, but they're not in the business of making friends. You know, we're in the business of making business. This is what we do. Right. And this is true beyond sales titles. This is true in all titles of business. What we're trying to do is get an equal business stature with the people that we're talking to. They're not more important than us. We're not more important to them.
Right.
And unfortunately, a lot of people in sales don't see it that way. They see the customer's always right. The customer's more important. So we hear words like, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am. When can I see you on Wednesday? I'll take anything you've got, ma'am. No. Yeah. What we've done is we've already signaled that this relationship is about them wanting something from us.
Right.
And we got to stop that.
Yeah.
We've got to stop that.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of the term commission breath?
No, I haven't.
Commission breath is the behavior a sales rep displays to a customer when they had better have a commission or they're done. They have commission breath. In other words, I have to sell this or I got to find a job.
Yikes.
Now, how does that go?
It's just such an uncomfortable all the way around, right?
Right.
I mean, you know, I think I've never heard that term, but I've been on the other side of the desk from that.
Yeah.
And even when I've told them, I don't even have any budget the rest of this year or whatever, they're still right there. And I had literally had a guy once, Tom, say, look, I know that, but if I don't show up, the sales manager saying I got a meeting, I'm going to get fired.
Right. Now, how is that the recipient of that communications problem?
Yeah.
What they are now doing is they're moving toward ending this communication as fast as they can.
Right.
I don't want to hear about your problems. I'm sorry. I got plenty of problems. I don't need your problems.
Exactly. Okay?
So in order to get over this kind of thing, let's talk about what a lot of salespeople will then do. Okay. Salespeople are always having a great day. You know,
I suppose.
It's kind of like, how are you? I'm fantastic. What? Or, wow, that's a great idea. Oh, we were hoping. We would love to. But stop. Stop it. Stop it. I was with a young rep, Alex. I probably have told you the story. I was with a young rep, and we're making calls. I'm trying to help this young rep out. And we walk in, and the rep to this woman's business. And she's at her desk. She agrees to see us. And we walk in, and the young rep sees a picture of this woman's children on her desk. So the young rep says, are these your kids? There was a little bit of about a half step. And the woman comes back and says, no, I keep the picture of someone else's kids on my desk. What do we have? One of the first things we want to eliminate in selling is an artificial sense of closeness.
Yeah.
To people we don't know. We got to stop that.
Right.
We have an artificial sense of intimacy with people who have no idea who we are.
Right. Right.
This, I'd love to see you. I'd love to talk with you. I am so happy to meet you. Oh, I've heard such great things about you.
Yeah.
Is all baloney.
Yeah.
And all of us know. So let's go backwards a little bit and talk about what it is that we really want to do. First of all, many times when we're getting ready, a salesperson's getting ready for a call.
Right.
What's going through their mind, Alex, do you think? Let's say you're getting ready to make a presentation to a major company that needs your services.
Right.
Now, well, you would never be so unprofessional as to not prepare for that call. I know you well. You'd be ready. You'd be
frontwards, backwards.
Ready, that crazy ready.
I just did one the other day real quick, and there was a story in the Business Journal that directly affected their industry, and I said, right. So what do you think about XYZ? And the face of the person, oh, you know about that? And I'm like, yeah, right. So how's it going to affect you, and how can I help you get around that if it does with my marketing advice to you? That guy, he signed me at the end of the
Yeah, it's like, wow, nobody ever asked me. You mean you actually looked me up? Are you getting those calls from the car warranty people that want to sell you a warranty in a car? And they didn't check the fact that you sold this car 4 years ago, right?
Yeah.
So how's that going to go? So let's start with what we want to see happen.
Right. Let's do that.
Unfortunately, what happens with a lot of people at the beginning of a business meeting is that they're so intent on what they've prepared to do that the meeting doesn't start well, nor usually end very well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So as weird as it may sound, I would like to encourage salespeople to be careful about how much preparation that they're doing for sales calls that they're making. Sounds a little weird. Now, does that say going unprepared? No.
No.
Prepared for what? Many times people will go into a sales call prepared to have an argument over price justification. That's what they're ready for.
Yeah.
This person's going to tell me I'm too expensive, so I've got to be ready to go to battle. Wow, that's bad.
Yeah.
There's a thing called verification of preparation, which means if you prepared for it, you're going to be ready to do battle with it, and you will bring it up, even if they don't. So if you're ready to have a fight about money, you're going to get a fight about money.
Yeah.
So what do we really want to do at the beginning of these calls, when particularly when we don't know someone for the first time, is take our time.
Oh, yeah.
There are a lot of cultural things that are going on when you meet someone you haven't met before face-to-face. A lot of things that we don't look at. We ask this question, how are you? We're not interested in their well-being. What we are interested in, we need them to talk, act, respond, or do something that allows us to begin to mirror what they're doing so we can communicate with each other well. That's what we're looking for. So some things happen that we don't see happen. For instance, we'll do things to match one another's behavior almost instantly.
Mm-hmm.
When you meet someone for the first time and they're very soft-spoken,
yeah,
you become immediately soft-spoken. No one had to tell you that. You just do it.
It's true.
If someone's loud, you tend to get louder.
Yep.
But it goes beyond that. Within the first two or three sentences, your rate of speech will match their rate of speech. You'll talk as quickly as they do, or you feel like you're not keeping up. And that's not a constant in the United States. Look at this. In the Midwest, we speak at about 165 to 175 words per minute. Okay. How are they doing in Boston?
Is that about double that or something?
Well, it's a lot faster, about 175, maybe to 185 with gusts to 215. Okay. So they're moving along. And I have a friend in Houston, Texas, started a conversation a week ago. I don't know where he is with it now. He may not be done, because we change this rate of speech, but you'll match it very quickly.
It's true.
The amount of emphasis or enthusiasm in the conversation will match very, very quickly. And if it's not, it's uncomfortable. So an overly enthusiastic, happy, bubbly salesperson meets someone who is not overly enthusiastic, bubbly, and all that, and it forces that person to change to be more bubbly when they don't intend to and don't particularly want to. So they'll start, but then they'll withdraw from that conversation if you're too happy.
Right.
Okay. A lot of salespeople think I have to bring light and happiness into my people's worlds, and they don't. That's not what we're doing.
Oh, but can I stop you there for just a second? Because, you know, I've got to do this, but I tell you that you've always done that for me. And I remember the first time you sold to me, you know, your services. I worked with you way back when I was in the middle of my agency, and you saw I was sinking and all this stuff. But one thing that got me about you was the empathy there. And I want to get back to that in just a second. But I got to say, it's a new year, and I'm already reminded just in this conversation about all the sales calls I got to make and on my relentless quest to maintain peak performance throughout the busy day. So if you're like me, coffee is an old friend, your go-to, right? But here's the thing. After the third cup, instead of channeling that spirit of productivity, I feel more like I'm just making myself jittery, cranky, and uncomfortable. Right. And that happens fast when you're producing and hosting two podcasts, running a business, and trying to stay active at the gym on top of being a husband, father, and friend. So enter stage right. If you're a regular listener to the show, you know I tried Magic Mind. And it's become my new buddy every morning. I started using this little green shot in December, and I love it. It pairs up with your morning brew, and it carries you through the day. There's no midday crash, no bargaining with yourself for a 20-minute eyelid inspection around 2 o'clock. Are you with me with that one? Why does it work? Tom's like, oh, yeah. One reason Magic Mind works is it's made with nootropics. These aren't your garden variety ingredients. We're talking about stuff like lion's mane mushrooms. And that sounds exotic, right? Well, it is. It's a nootropic and adaptogen that reduces anxiety and inflammation while also supporting cognition by preventing neural degeneration and stimulating neural regeneration. That's just a fancy way of saying this stuff works. It's a brain tonic that eases your brain and helps you be more productive and feel less stressed. Tom knows me from a long time, and he knows I get a little anxious and I get a little stressed. This has really been helping. So you want to try it out? Well, you're in luck, because you, listener, are part of the PR After Hours community. We got the hookup for you. Magic Mind is offering a deal so good, it feels like we're getting away with something. Get up to 56% off your first subscription. That's more than half off, folks, and 20% off a one-time purchase. But here's the kicker. You got to act within 10 days of this episode dropping. So go to www.magicmind.com/PR After Hours Jan. That's PR After Hours, J-A-N, like January. And use my code After Hours 20, that's After Hours 20, to bank that discount. So here's the clincher for all you go-getters and New Year's resolution champs out there. Magic Mind is dishing out an extra dollop of incentive to get your 2024 started on a high note. When you commit to a three-month subscription this January 2024, they're throwing in an additional month at no extra cost. That's an extra 20% off, which gets you to a total of, does math checks know, 75% off. This only lasts until the end of January 24, so hurry up before it goes away. Hop on over to Magic Mind at www.magicmind.com/PR After Hours Jan, where the path to a sharper, more serene you is just a click away. Remember, the magic word is After Hours 20, and I know, I talk fast. Just ask Tom. Don't worry, if you can't write all that down, it's in the show notes. So here's to a 2024 brimming with achievements. Keep thriving, keep striving, and let's make this year the best one yet. Cheers to a focused future with Magic Mind. Tom, that stuff really helps, but if I drink too much coffee, I run the risk of being overly enthusiastic with the sales prospect. So you really do have to balance that out, don't you?
You really do. And now there's something to be said for timing. When you meet someone for the first time, obviously, if you're a professional, you get really early into this is why I want to talk to you. If you're not, you shy away from this is why I want to talk to you.
Right.
We do the kinds of things when we're new in our career, and maybe I'm the only one that did, where I was trying to actually try to hide the fact that I was selling something rather than make it very clear at the onset of the relationship that I was doing that. Hey, I thought I'd just check in, touch base. Hey, I'm not sure. I just wanted to reach out and introduce myself.
Yeah.
No. What we want to do is we want to look for that moment in time where we stop talking about the Blizzard or the Chiefs or whatever and start talking about business. But that time usually is much sooner than most salespeople think. This is particularly true in networking events or in more casual contacts for relationships, not intentional sales calls, where we'll talk about this and this and this, and we'll continue to talk about it until we're about one sentence too far. And once we hit this point where we haven't gotten down to the reason why we're actually having this conversation, even if we're one sentence too far, the person on the other end is 1 foot out of the conversation already because we didn't get down to it fast enough. Now, that's not to say that we're going to start immediately, but how much time it takes to begin and build a rapport face to face, okay,
right,
is usually less than most salespeople think. Here's a couple of things that absolutely should not have to be said. We don't make adamant conversation about anything at all. So if we have to bring up, don't talk about politics and religion. If you needed to know that, maybe sales isn't for you. but other things, for instance, you know, I know you're a Chiefs fan. That's great. But to be overly adamant about a Chiefs fan isn't going to help when you're talking to a Raiders fan.
Yeah.
Right. We don't know what we're encountering. So saying adamant absolutes and, you know, these kinds of things are not helpful. They're not helpful. First of all, they derail the conversation into, let's say the person agrees with you. Oh, yes, I'm a huge fan of that conversation was heading toward a sales conversation and now it's gone.
Yeah.
Let's always remember, we are always running out of time. In personal, interpersonal dynamics and in selling, we are always running out of time. Secondly, we're also always running out of the number of times we can contact that person.
That's such a great point.
And therefore, don't burn one with no point. So item one, maintaining quality sales conversations. Don't call anybody or talk to anybody unless you have a reason to.
Okay.
Don't. If you do not have a reason to talk to someone in a sales environment, don't do it because you're burning that contact that you might need later. Let's say this person's only willing to talk to you 6 times in their whole life.
Yeah.
All right. You don't want to burn the first two talking about the weather, pictures of their kids or whatever. Don't do this.
Right.
Get down to the point quickly, politely, professionally, but do so in such a fashion as to make it clear why you're there to speak to them or why you've called them or why you've reached out to them. Do you get texts from people you don't know who just want to talk to you?
Yeah.
About what you're not really sure they want to talk to you about?
Rather dubious of those, yes. Mm-hmm.
Creepy.
Yeah, totally.
So to establish a good conversation, transparency is required. I'm not hiding anything from you. Right. Yes, my name is Tom Mulligan. I work for the Kaufman Group. If I had to put it in the box, I'm in the sales training and consultation business, working with salespeople and leaders who want to overcome certain problems they face every day, like getting ghosted on the phone, like having to discount because there's a competitor involved, right, or just can't seem to pick up the phone or get in the car and go see people because it just doesn't seem like it's worth it anymore. Yeah. These are the kinds of people that I help. I don't know if that's you.
It was.
What did I just do?
Well, wow, you just bridged this to where you got my attention and you got me to agree with you on something.
Or, that's, and you could say, nope, never encountered it at all. I understand. No problem.
Okay.
Can I ask you a question, though?
Yeah, believe absolutely. Me.
Yeah, that next is called one last question.
Right.
Right. I won't bother you again about this sort of thing, but let me ask you this. What would have to change in order for me to make use of your time worthwhile, make an appointment to see you? What would need to happen? Then get out of the way.
Right.
They might say, no, I can't think of a thing. You know, it's been great meeting you. Let's leave friends.
Right.
What will happen?
Well, they're going to
remember.
They're
cook.
That's good. Yeah, let that go. They're going to remember you, though, because you were not the guy who gave them the full court press. And you basically said, look, you get in the weeds. Give me a call. This is what I do to fix it.
Basically.
I love, well, that's what you did to me. How many years ago was this? It was like 10 plus years ago. I still remember how you handled me. It still stands out, Tom.
Yeah, they still had dial phones, Alex. It's sad.
It's true.
So, but you see what the point of this was, is that rather than hiding what it is that I am doing, I am extremely transparent about it, and I'll take no for an answer. You know why? Because I can. I can take no for an answer now. The pressure in this relationship has now evaporated. It's gone.
Yeah.
You want to talk to me? Good. If you don't, good.
That works for me so well. I know, I'm sure I had commission breath here and there throughout, but I have always found that I used to kind of call it playing hard to get, but that's not really what it is. What you're saying, it's more like exuding confidence in, hey, I know what I can do for you and I want to help you if you need me, but if you don't need me, that's okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to go on to somebody else. Don't worry about it. You know, I think people also, is there a psychological thing where they feel like, wow, that guy, he doesn't want to continue to pursue me. What's going on here? I mean, do people have is there something about that or am I off on
that? Yes. No, you're absolutely correct. We have a couple of things in the Sandler system that reflect the importance of that. One is called negative reverse and another thing called pattern interrupt. And one of these days we can talk about those things. And if people are interested in that, have them give me a call. But the fact of the matter is, it's not I'm playing hard to get. It's that I'm letting you play hard to get. That if you decide you do not want to talk to me and you want to make it a little tough, fine. I can't fix that. You can't break that. You can't have some sunny conversation that says, oh my God, I'm wrong. What do you have? Don't even tell me. Here's my checkbook. This doesn't happen. We're in an interpersonal dynamic. We can't control them. We can only control us.
Right.
And present the kind of thing that makes it easy for them to respond to us. That's all we can do. And when we really get pressure on ourselves in sales, which happens a lot, you know, got a number I got to make by the end of the month, got this, I got to do. Yeah, the pressure builds on us. If we reflect that pressure to someone else, what will they do since they're going to copy our behavior? They'll push that pressure right back. You, therefore, are the target of it because you're the one who brought it. And so this high pressure stuff actually uses or actually takes the energy and pushes that person away. And that sounds like love to talk to you. Right? No, right. You don't.
Yeah.
It's a fabulous. How are you doing? I am fantastic.
Right.
Really? Really? You know, it's a little early for that in the day, isn't it? So this is really what we're doing. Let me get down to it, really. Two people are talking to each other. And there's a lot of unspoken rules about how we talk to each other. And most salespeople, when they get into a business environment, forget that. They say, oh, no, I got to get this done. I'm going to go get them. I feel really great about me today. No. So what we want to do is then look at another person and switch chairs with them right away. Let's be equals here.
Yeah.
Okay. Sometimes I'll call them, and if I'm calling someone cold, it'll say, you know what? I don't like cold calls. I bet you don't either. If you want to hang up, that's okay. What will that person do? Go, no, you're right. I don't like cold calls. What? Why'd you call me? It's all you need.
Has anybody ever hung up on you when you've done that?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Sometimes with panache. Sometimes really very well done, too.
With panache.
Yeah. Slam. That's okay.
Did you
laugh? It was going to happen if I didn't anyway. It's going to happen anyway. All right.
With panache.
So what we want to do is look at that other person and recognize that this is another person, not a target, not our prey, not the proper demographic, not the appropriate industrial classification. It is, it's Alex. Hi, Alex.
Yeah.
Tell me about Alex.
You did that with me and you said, what are your challenges? And I was like, ugh. And I mean, you broke me down pretty quick. I say broke you down. I opened up to you fairly quickly because you caught me at just the right moment as a business owner. And I had all this going on and we won't belabor it here, but you started identifying things and, you know, we got down, it was way to the end of the conversation. I believe it was just the one, maybe it was two, one was on the phone, then one was in person.
Right.
Where we even got to price, because by then I was already like, I need this training. I need this guy's help. And by then I was so open to it. Let me ask you a quick one. I know we're almost out of time on this one, but I wanted to ask you this. Is there a difference in this when it comes, like I'm a business owner, small business owner. So I'm also the head salesman, chief cook, bottle washer. Mm-hmm. Is it different though for a business owner to approach another business owner about a service offering? Do you see what I'm saying? Or
only
you know what I mean?
It's like, so.
Tell me more. What does that mean? What do you
well,
mean?
A lot of times what we do is we get hung up with what our titles are. One of the things I will strongly counsel people to do is that when you're going to a sales call and there's more than one of you, okay, you never announce what your title is. You only announce what your purpose is.
Right.
So why would it be different if you were the sales owner or the business owner rather than the sales rep for the owner? Why would that be different? Why?
Well, Tom, if I may, don't some business owners, aren't they a little more receptive to somebody who is another business owner rather than I am Joe Salesman?
If you tell them to, yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Otherwise, no. You know, do you know what my title is? Alex, I know you 10 years. Do you know my title? Don't look it up.
I'm not.
You
I think
don't know. And you shouldn't know.
I think you're a managing director.
Oh, all right. So you got me. It took you 10 years to learn it, though. Let's point that out. The fact is titles are meaningless. But what happens to us is our title becomes very important to us.
Right.
And so we think that if we have the right title, then we have the right to talk to someone. And that's just ridiculous. Okay. Let's say you take a couple of people going on a sales call and one's a vice president and one's a salesperson. Okay. You announce your titles, you're shot because you just took the legs out from underneath your sales rep. No, just because you're not the business owner or the vice president or the director of this. No, that's your vision of you.
Right.
If you take your vision of you as less than the vision of the person who owns the business, you're off to a terrible start. Now you're looking up at them. And if you're looking up at a customer, you cannot sell to them. All you can do is take whatever order they give you.
Yeah, that's a great point.
So no, I cannot say that being a business owner gives you gravitas that you wouldn't have otherwise.
I just mean like getting in the door because it's like, hey, this is Alex. I run AGPR. Wanted to check in with you about blah, 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 rather than I guess I see your point, but I just wondered if it gave you a little bit more, but you've answered the question. So that's a great one.
No, I would have to very strongly say no.
Yeah.
In fact, it hurts you going in the other direction.
Right. Right. I love that. That's great. Tom, just to kind of summarize. So again, the top couple of three tips we kind of covered today on building rapport.
Yes. What are our top three?
I've been running the board here. Give me one.
You're good enough.
Nice.
You're good enough. I don't know what your title is. I don't know what your experience is. I don't know what your industry is. I don't know, you know, whether or not you should be doing time. Whatever it is, you're good enough. Come to this relationship with an equal partnership in mind with the people that you're getting ready to call on. You're good enough. You don't have to, first of all, tell people why you're good enough. That's a death knell. Do you ever go to a car dealership and you're buying a car? And they get you in that little itty bitty tiny little office, right?
I hate that. Yeah.
We've talked about this, and they got every award they ever won on their wall. Why are they doing that? I'm good enough. How about I'm good enough?
Yeah.
Natural competency or a sense of confidence will take you farther than anything else.
100%.
So that's one. Two, your customer is going to do what you do. They will lead where you lead. Lead to where they're comfortable, not to where you want them to go. Mm. Lead them to where they want to go, not to where you want to go.
Right.
And you will have conversations. And third, at the beginning of our relationships with customers, right?
Right.
Let's keep in mind that we're not here to get something.
Right.
All we're after is a conversation. And in the course of that conversation, our customer will decide to move in our direction. They're not going to do it because you're good looking or because you got a great brand or because we're having a sale. When you get to the point where your customer knows you care about what it is that they want, then they'll buy from you.
Oh, man. Tom Mulligan with the Sandler Kaufman Group, Kansas City area here. Tom, if people want to learn more, and I don't know, maybe you've got a little something for somebody. If you tell them you heard it on PR After Hours, tell us about that.
Get in touch with us. We'd be happy to spend some time talking about some specific issues that you're facing. If we find we can't help you, we will tell you we can't help you. But in the course of a conversation, we can very often give some things to sales professionals that can help in the short term. If it's the kind of thing where they're not really sure why they're not generating any kind of quality business conversations, it might be their personality profile.
Right.
It could be extended disprofiling. We're very big on that. Yeah. Who are the people that you naturally find it easy to talk to? And who are the folks that you're going to struggle with a little and why?
Yeah. Yeah.
Very powerful. And maybe that's all the more someone needs just to get them over that first step, because that first one's a big one.
Tom Mulligan is I'm not saying this just to, you know, pump him up here. It's the truth. He's a nationally recognized expert in DISC profile training and interpretation, all that stuff. So get a hold of him. There's going to be a link in the show notes at Sandler Kaufman. Get a hold of my friend, Tom Mulligan. Tom, I learned a lot, and also you reinforced some stuff that, of course, I got rusty on. I appreciate you being here. Thanks again for joining us here in the virtual lounge.
My pleasure, and good selling to you and everybody who tuned in. Thanks, and go get them.
Welcome to a special announcement from PR After Hours, your go-to podcast for all things public relations and marketing. We are thrilled to share some exciting news. PR After Hours has been recognized as one of the best in the business. We've been ranked number 18 in the prestigious FeedSpot 70 Best PR Podcast list for 2024. That's right, we're among the 70 best PR podcasts worth listening to this year. But wait, there's more. We've also been named a top 15 PR podcast by Refonic. We're honored to be acknowledged by such respected platforms in the industry. And of course, we couldn't do it without you. A huge thank you to our amazing listeners and sponsors for your continuous support. Your engagement and feedback fuel our passion for delivering insightful, engaging content each episode. So, raise a glass here in the virtual lounge and join us in celebrating, well, what we think is a pretty nice achievement. Stay tuned for more intriguing conversations, expert insights, and all the latest trends in public relations and marketing only on PR After Hours.
You know what that means? It's last call here at the Virtual Lounge. Be sure to visit PRAfterHours.com for links to what we discussed in this episode and more. Be sure to follow us wherever you get your podcasts. And join us next time for another round at PR After Hours with Alex Greenwood.